May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn 769. 769. Jesus, are the billows steer me, be my pilot in each storm. Hold me fast and keep me near thee, for thou knowest I'm but a worm. What concerns me by thy power and love perform? Hymn 769.
The Holy Word of God, we'll read together the Gospel according to John, chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we'll read through to the end of verse 46. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. We will leave the reading there. May God bless it to us, and may he now help us in prayer. Kind and gracious, almighty, eternal Lord God, we gather once again in this house of prayer. We thank thee, gracious God, for this opportunity to meet around thy holy word for worship. Lord, we thank thee for the provision of this house of prayer. We pray it may prove to be a sanctuary for us as we gather away from the busy scenes of another day. We pray that the service here this evening may prove to be a time of strengthening and blessing to us. Lord, that we may have some quietness in our minds and the busy thoughts. Grant, Lord, we pray that we may be drawn in our affections, our considerations, above the dying things of this world. Lord, we do pray that thou would help us and help each as they gather for worship here this evening, and help any that may listen in. Lord, do grant that thy blessing might rest upon the reading and the preaching of thy holy word. And we pray, Lord, that thou would help us as we meet for a midweek service. And we ask, Lord, that those things, Lord, which have occupied our thoughts this day, Lord, may lose place to thy holy word and the considerations in our worship here this evening. Lord, we pray for any who have come and their minds are burdened and troubled in some way, and maybe have that desire to be free from those burdens and cares, and yet find they are pressing and they are weighty. And we pray, Lord, that thou meet with them and do bless them, and grant, Lord, that help they need to cast their burden upon the Lord. Lord, help us each to cast all of our cares upon thee. Lord, help us to understand something of our frailty, how insufficient we are for the many things that are before us and that we're in. And Lord, do teach us our weakness, and reveal to us our lack of wisdom by nature, and grant, Lord, that we may be led by thy Spirit to the only true help, that one that sticketh closer than a brother, that loveth at all times. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou draw us to thyself, Lord Jesus, that we may come and find that meeting of our every need in thee, that supply. Lord, we pray that we may be found seeking thy strength, thy grace, Lord Jesus, seeking for those precious gifts that can only come from thee. Lord, we seek that gift of living faith, Lord, where thou hast given it, Lord, we pray an increase of it. We seek, Lord, that our faith might be an exercise. Lord, that thou would establish and strengthen and settle us in our most holy faith. Do bless us, Lord, with a sense of thy presence. Lord, we pray that we may feel that we are not alone, that thou art with us. Lord, we pray that we may have those comforts of that David of old knew. Lord, though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that like him may we fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so, Lord, we do pray that thou comfort us and grant those sweet consolations. And, Lord, do lead us and teach us and reveal unto us thy Son. May, Lord, we find a preciousness and see a beauty in him. And Lord, may we find that increase in our estimation. And Lord, as we look upon thee and consider something of thy person and work, oh Lord, may our hearts be filled with love and praise, that he might increase and we decrease. Lord, may we see that contrast, that difference. Lord, may we, as sinners, be found fleeing for refuge to the Saviour of sinners. And so, Lord, we do ask that thou would open every eye and unstop every ear. And Lord, touch each heart and bless thy word, Lord, even this night, to the saving of souls. And do, Lord, grant us that we may be found hoping, trusting, believing in him. Lord, we pray then that thou remember each gathered, and Lord, remember them in their varying needs and concerns. Lord, be with those who may be come with a heart filled with praise. Lord, we pray that thou draw out from them that rejoicing and praise which is due unto thy name, and help them to magnify thy great and holy name. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt then work wondrously in our midst, and do bless this gathering with thy presence. Lord, thou hast promised to be where thy people gather for worship. Lord, we pray that we may be found assembled here, and may we be assembled to worship in spirit and in truth. And help us, Lord, and shut Satan out from our hearts and from this place, and shut us in with thyself. And so, Lord, we pray that thou be with any who are troubled, tempted and burdened. Lord, any who feel troubled with guilt and condemnation, Lord, do remember them, and grant, Lord, that there might be some sweet and precious relief granted of you, of the sinner's only hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that we might be brought to look on him whom we have pierced, mourn for him, to know that godly sorrow which worketh salvation, not to be repented of. Grant, Lord, that thy Spirit may lead us out of ourselves and unto Jesus. Lord, keep us from seeking to rest in some good works or some righteousness that we may think we have of our own. May we be brought to truly see that they are filthy rags. And Lord, remember us. And Lord, help us to truly look away and to look to thee. So Lord, we ask that Christ might be revealed and Christ made precious. Lord, that thy Spirit may be poured out upon us, that he may take of those things of Jesus and apply them to us and reveal our part and place in that finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may see our all bound up in that bundle of life. Though, Lord, we may feel unworthy, and Lord, though we may feel much of our sin and have much shame in our consideration of it, yet, Lord, grant that we may be found among those creeping things that were gathered in that great sheet knit at the four corners and taken up into heaven. And so, Lord, remember the cry and the prayer of the destitute. Lord, remember seeking souls, and do, Lord, visit them with thy great salvation. Lord, be with any who come unconcerned. May they leave different to how they came. Lord, may there be an arrow sent forth into their heart. Lord, that arrow of conviction. Oh Lord, where there's no concern today, may there be a concern tomorrow. Lord, may that vital teaching be given while on praying ground. Oh, may we see, Lord, something of our faults and failings now, while in a day of grace, while on mercy's ground. And oh Lord, may we know what it is to truly come as that publican of old, who, staring at the ground, feeling his condemnation and guilt as a sinner, cast himself upon the sinner's only hope. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So, Lord, we pray, remember each soul for good. Lord, remember those who have difficult pathways. Remember each in their various situations, from the youngest to the eldest. Lord, those various challenges that come day by day. Lord, be with the afflicted. Do sanctify affliction, we pray. Lord, do lay thy healing hand upon those that are afflicted. And Lord, we pray that it might be that healing of body and soul. We ask, Lord, that thou remember and be with the those who seek thy will and are looking for thy hand to lead and guide them in the choices and decisions they have. Lord, we pray that thou wilt appear for them and grant that they may have those wrong doors shut and that right one opened. And Lord, we do ask that thou remember us, particularly, Lord, at this difficult and troublesome time in the nations of the world, as there is wars and rumours of wars. Lord, in the troubled situation in the Ukraine, and Lord, in the troubled state in Israel and the surrounding nations, Lord, we ask that thou wilt arise, Lord, that thou wilt bring an end to war and the bloodshed. Lord, we pray that peace might be granted. Lord, do hear prayer in this, in these things, and grant, Lord, that we may see a cessation in these conflicts. Lord, we ask that thou wilt cause many in these troublesome times to turn from the ways of sin and to seek that righteousness of Jesus Christ, that Christ might be revealed. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt use and overturn and turn these things to thy honour and thy glory. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt have mercy. And Lord, have mercy upon our nation. And Lord, do remember particularly our young people as they are growing up and they hear things that discourage, and oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near and comfort their hearts and give them to see that thou art on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. Lord, give them to see something of thy glory. Lord, as they read thy word, something of thy faithfulness to the promises thou hast made. And grant, Lord, that in all the things of this life we may not be distracted from that one thing needful. For Lord, our lives are short, and we are daily getting nearer to that time where we must stand before thee. And so, Lord, we pray that in all these things we may not lose sight of that certainty of the end of our days and a never-ending eternity. Lord, may that question of where we spend eternity be put out of the question. Oh Lord, give us each to see that through thy grace thou hast prepared a place for us. Oh, that thou wilt speak those sweet and precious words, "Because I live, ye shall live also." And so grant, Lord, that good hope through grace of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Do forgive, Lord, anything amiss in our worship here this evening. Lord, anything that might be spoken amiss, Lord, may it be forgotten and remembered no more, but may thy word abide. May it find an abiding place in our heart. May there be those things for us to take home, something for us to live on in the coming days, food for our souls. Do feed us, Lord, we pray, with that bread of life sent down from heaven. Lord, we ask great things, but thou art a great and almighty God, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Oh, then break every hard heart. Appear and deal with every hard case. And do bless us, we pray, as we ask all in that worthy and all-prevailing name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 772. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. Hymn 772.
Turn with me to the chapter we read, The Gospel according to John, chapter 11. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the fourth verse. So John chapter 11 and verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." The Gospel according to John chapter 11 and verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." This was a gloomy hour. One of those gloomy hours that we've just sung of. There had been the sickness of Lazarus. There had been the distress of Mary and Martha. And there were those that were sent by them, sent by the sisters, to tell the Lord, behold he whom thou lovest is sick. And this was the response of the Lord Jesus. This was what he said when he heard that news. And it would seem he said it in ear of those who were sent by those sisters, that they might take that and return with it and tell those sisters of it. And he said it also in ear of those who were around and his disciples. "This sickness is not unto death." And what a thing to say. When we read further on, and the Lord says plainly unto them, we read in verse 14, "Lazarus is dead." How do we reconcile those two things? Well, we can easily read forward and we can see the meaning of it and the Lord's determination that glory would be to God in that resurrection of Lazarus. That Lazarus, though he would die, yet he would live again. That though he was buried, he would come up out of that grave, and he would continue to live until that time when he would die and his soul and body would part. The Lord intended. This was according to the purposes of God. It was to give clear witness and evidence that he was and is truly God and man. And so we have something here in this chapter, this part of the chapter we read of his glorious person and his glorious work. And firstly then his person. We see the sympathizing heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that this is something you and I are each brought to see personally. That you and I each are brought to prove it. That he still retains that same sympathizing heart. He cares much for his people. He still cares much for his people. And may we not question that when those things arise that maybe do give us those gloomy hours. That what the Lord has said to us, if he has said to us that he loves us with an everlasting love, friends, it is eternal. Those of you this evening who have something of a good hope in him, those gloomy hours should not rob you of it, should not cast any doubt over it. Though it's gloomy, and though maybe you can't feel his presence or hear his voice in it, or see his hand at work. Though maybe at times it would be, in your view of things, that the door that seems to have opened is now shutting. You know, that there's a word of encouragement here. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And the door is opened. It would seem a door is opened. Lazarus isn't going to die. Though he's very sick, you would say there's a door opened here. A door of hope. And your mind and mine might view these things. And we might follow on in our thoughts and go ahead of ourselves and say, yes, and the Lord is now going to come and he's going to lay his hand on that one who is sick and he's going to deal with it. But the next verse says, or the second to next verse, verse 6, when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days, 2 days still, in the same place where he was. He didn't go immediately. He stayed where he was. You know, it's at times a path of faith is a very tried path. Faith is always tried. God always tries the faith that he gives. Some paths are very, very trying. And at times, it's hard. It's hard because our understanding is finite. And our view of things is small. And the Lord's purposes are often hidden. His intentions aren't always clear from our view. Always fixed, always clear on his side. But our interpretations of things, we misinterpret, we misapply. And that word is true, isn't it? Do not interpretations belong unto God? This sickness is not unto death. Does the Lord not love Martha, Mary, and Lazarus? Well, verse 5 puts it out of the question. It declares it to be so. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So why the delay? Why is it? Why is this delay something for you and I to take note of this evening? And how can something of his glorious person be seen in that delay? Well, the Lord Jesus said, didn't he, in verse 14 to his disciples, Lazarus is dead. He said it plainly. He had said to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. But they didn't understand. They took it literally. He was sleeping, and we're going to go and wake him up. But that wasn't. That was not the case. It wasn't a natural sleep. It was a sleep of death that the Lord was speaking of. And he tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then he says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. And you say, well, how can this be something glorious about his person? When he says, I'm glad I was not there. You see, this, if we view it rightly, highlights the great compassion and sympathy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. It was his intention that they might believe, that they might know more of him afterward than they did then. He intended them to see and believe more. He intended them to understand and see more of who he is, the eternal Son of God, very God, very man. You see, he must stay away until Lazarus has died, and not presence himself bodily with those that are mourning, with Martha and Mary. Because his sympathizing heart, how could he stand and watch? You know, do we understand the greatness of the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, how his heart was moved with compassion, standing, looking on those that were mourning, hearing their distress, knowing that he would raise Lazarus, but still he stood and wept at that grave. Friends, it is clear to our mind, surely, that his delay was that Lazarus might die. Oh, how could he then have watched on and seen him die and be in the very presence of them? Friends, it is a most glorious thing if we view it in this person of Jesus. Oh, may those of you this evening who feel troubled, cast down, dejected, sorrowful, or or in that time of distress in one way or another, may the Lord so draw you to himself. May this sympathizing heart of our Lord Jesus be that which draws us to him. Oh, may we not doubt his compassion. When we have our case, Satan says, well, in all the grand concerns, why would he be troubled with you? Why would he take notice of you? Why would he be willing to consider you? In all the grand concerns of this world, little you and your little issue. Friend, his heart can still be touched. And you will prove it when you venture with your case, with your burden. When you're given that spirit of real prayer, you come to the feet of Jesus and lay your case, whatever it might be. Oh, you will prove the truth of that word, casting all your care upon him. And don't let Satan draw a line around anything. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, do not doubt it. Do not doubt it. The circumstances, the trouble by its very nature, may give rise to doubt, but do not doubt it. When it is used to bring you to call upon him. You know, when we think of, when we pray that things might be sanctified, isn't that what it is? That the Lord might use it to bring one and another to himself. That thing might be the very thing that is that burden that causes them to come. Though wretched, though undeserving, though feeling not worthy of the least of his notice or his mercy, yet that very thing is the one that brings them. And that's when it's sanctified. When it's used of the Lord. Is that the intention? Is that the intended outcome, friend, for what you're in this evening? You know, Joseph, what did he say to his brethren? Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Can any good come out of it, you say? Can any good come out of this affliction of Lazarus? Oh, it seems a door is opened in our text. This sickness is not unto death. Doesn't the door seem to close when Lazarus dies and is buried? But has it? You know, I thought of this. I was thinking this afternoon of how at times it is like that, and it's been like that, and I've proved it. And I'm sure some of you have proved it, I'm sure some of you will go on to prove it to be so. A door seems to open. It's like a door of hope. The Lord raises you up to a hope in a word. And there's a little going out of your heart, a little rejoicing. There's some hope given. And it's like the door, a door opening. It begins to open and there you are. You want to push it open. But then there's that resistance. Then it's like the door is being pushed shut again. Why? Oh, the anguish, the trouble. What does all this mean? Is the Lord teasing me? Surely he wouldn't tease me. What is this? False hope? But it was hoping in his promise. It was hoping in his word. It was my heart lifted because of his word and the promise he gave. You know, I thought of an instance a while back. We were moving some things around, and a door. I was one side of the door, and somebody was the other side of the door. And the door was began. I began to open the door to let them in, and then I had to stop. There was something my side of the door that needed to be cleared up to enable a door to fully open, fully open. That there was something that would have stopped it, and I had to deal with it. And so the door had to be shut a bit to enable me to then clear up that matter, clear up that thing, move it out of the way. And then the door opened, and it could open further. Well, I was able to say, just wait. Wait a bit. I'm not ready yet. And deal with what needed to be dealt with. Oh, I was perfectly willing to open the door. It wasn't any maliciousness. No teasing on my part. There was a reason. They couldn't see the reason why the door began to open, then it had to be shut a bit. They couldn't see it until I could explain it. Think about it. You know, our side of things, our time is always ready. You know, we see something. The Lord is beginning to appear in a matter, beginning to unfold things, and we're hasty, we want it. And it's, oh, but then there's that resistance. Feels a little pushing back. Is the Lord changing his mind? You know, and we let our thoughts, and we're troubled by Satan, and our own hearts testify against us. Our past life comes into view, and regarding our standing in the sight of God, we're shaken, and we're troubled, and we're concerned. But is the Lord not clearing up the matter? Are there not things that we don't see that need to be done? Are there not other things? Is the Lord not working out his purposes? You see, there was Martha. There was Mary. There was his disciples. This account must be left on record for you and I this evening, and for the church of God to the end of time. There are the Lord's intentions, the intended outcome. He's working out his purposes. He's establishing his people in their most holy faith. He's dealing with more than one issue, more than one heart, more than one never dying soul. And that, oh, that wisdom of God in the unfolding of his purposes. Friends, do we credit him with it? Oh, do we believe that he is too wise to err, too good to be unkind? Do we believe that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? You've asked for one thing, he's working out a myriad of things that you didn't ask for, but will all be for his honour and glory. But do you credit him with the ability to do that? Oh, we see just our side of the door. We see just our need. We've got a burden, we need to put it down, we need to get through the door. We need a door to open. Maybe the Lord's going to open it wider than you could see or thought you needed. Maybe the door isn't going to shut completely. The Lord's going to open it so wide that you won't believe. You'll be staggered at his mercy and his grace and his wisdom. You will see one day his purposes are working them out. He's working them out day by day. And it's that patience, isn't it? And a waiting on the Lord. And a trusting in him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And he says, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Well, what a test it was for them. But Martha, you see, she knew it. I know that, she said, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She knew it. She knew his heart. She knew his love. But what does she say? I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Oh, do you know that? You know, Martha, we think of Martha, don't we? Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. I tell you, do you have this? Do you have this that Martha had? I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Do you know that? When you approach him in prayer as your mediator, God will give it. For Jesus' sake. Oh, is that your faith lay hold of him? The person and work of Jesus Christ. Who he is. A prayer-hearing, answering God. That hears the cry of the destitute. The prayer of the destitute. Doesn't despise their prayer. But receives it. Perfumes it with his merits, presents it before the Father's throne, obtains answers of peace for them, obtains that help, personates their case before a holy God, and as a glorious mediator, as one who makes intercession. Oh, it channels down the blessings of God to poor unworthy sinners. Do you have what Martha had? I know. I know. Well, Martha would know even more. Oh, Martha would be brought to see. Oh, that the Lord would raise him. From the dead. Thy brother shall rise again. I know that he shall rise again in a resurrection at the last day. I am the resurrection and the life. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And in that resurrection of Lazarus, oh, how he showed and demonstrated, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you? Do you? This sickness is not unto death. Well, what about you and I? What about you this evening who feel sin sick? What about you this evening who your sins are testifying against you? You're sick of yourself. Those of you that are finding that sin is working death in you. Or you can join in the sentiment of that hymn, death's within thee, all about thee. Oh, you have the leprosy of sin in you. Oh, and it's sounding forth the certainty of death. And you feel this evening, oh, sin that is that bitterness, that poison that's in you is speaking of your eternal death. It has hell written all over it, and it seems to speak of hell as a place where you'll spend eternity, and you find that you cannot get beyond your sin, and you can't find any hope or any help in it. Well, friends, this is the word for you. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And how can I say that? Because you are aware of it now. Because God has begun that good work in revealing something of your sinful condition while you are still in the land of the living, while the throne of grace and the door of his mercy is open. You say it's not open very wide. You say maybe you thought it was open, and then you've had some fresh guilt and fresh condemnation applied, and the door is shutting again. Well, it's working its purposes, dear friend. Oh, what will it produce? What will it produce? Under the grace of God, his gracious hand upon you, what will it produce? Darkness and utter despair. Or that same cry of the publican. He smote upon his breast. He could not so lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. And maybe you can't. Maybe you're staring at the ground. But oh, to have that cry, to cast yourself upon the mercy of God. My soul, into thy arms I cast. I trust I shall be safe at last. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, is it working? Is it working for your real good. Oh, it will, won't it? When it produces those cries and those sighs and those longings and thirstings and hungerings after righteousness. Oh, that's the work, the working together for good. That when you're, though you're a beggar, with now your face pressed into the dunghill, yet you've still the breath in your body to cry, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. This sickness is not unto death. Oh, it is for the honour and glory of God. We read, didn't we, that many of the Jews which came to Mary and seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Honour and glory of God. Oh, are you and am I to be a sacred witness to the power of God to save to the uttermost all that cometh unto God by him? Oh, is the Lord to use you as a trophy of his grace, to show you his power to save, to pluck another brand from the burning, to lift the beggar from the dunghill and set him among princes, that the honour and glory might be to the holy name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, today may be a cloudy day. Today may be a dark day. Today may be a fresh sense of guilt, shame and unworthiness. But praise the Lord if it produces in your heart a stronger crying, a deeper sighing, a mourning over self and after him. That hymn says, death within thee, all about thee, but the remedy is without thee. It's not in you, it's outside of you. See it in the Saviour's blood. That precious blood shed for sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, to fly foul to the fountain with that cry, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Cast yourself upon the mercy of God as it's revealed to you in the person and work of Jesus, the friend of publicans and sinners, who shed his precious blood to blot out every sin of his living family and to lay down his life a ransom for many. Oh, may that sickness, produce in your soul and mine, oh, that glory to God. Oh, may it, under the gracious power of God, be sanctified, be used to lead us to Christ, out of ourselves, away from any hope in ourselves, unto the Lord Jesus, the only hope for dying sin-sick souls. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 179. Jesus is the chiefest good. He has saved us by his blood. Let us value naught but him. Nothing else deserves esteem. Hymn 179.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.